Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I love talking to women at the very start of their career before they're jaded and unimpressed with everything. Akili was such a joy to talk to. She just got out of college and she's already working at Vogue as an editorial beauty assistant. She's also a DJ and a model and does yoga, all of the things. And because Akili is at the start of her career and she's at Vogue, where she's one of few minority women, a lot of our conversation got into the obligation that many women of color feel when you're one of a few and you have to kind of hold the torch for your people and advocate for representation, because if you don't, maybe you're not sure if other people will. But our discussion left me really energized because it's not just about an obligation, it's really an opportunity, right? So reshifting our thinking from this is an obligation to this is a real opportunity for me. And that perspective is so beautiful and so wonderful to hear coming from her in our conversation. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. And as you're listening, please continue to screenshot and tag me at Naked Beauty Planet. It's so awesome when you do that. I think that's how a lot of people are discovering this show. The community has grown so much in the last few weeks. And I can really honestly say that is because of the support that you all give me. So thank you. Know that I'm seeing everything and I appreciate it so deeply. I am nearing 100 episodes of Naked Beauty. Yes. 100 episodes. And I can honestly say that the thing that keeps me going and the thing that motivates me is the community. It's your support. It's knowing that the show is touching people, that it's part of your self-care routines, that it brings you joy when you listen on Mondays. This is what motivates me to continue to put in the work and put in the time, because it matters and it matters to people listening. And this week has actually been a really crazy week for me. I interviewed Angela Yee a few days ago. If you don't know Angela Yee, she is part of The Breakfast Club on Power 105, arguably one of the largest radio shows in the world. She also has a podcast called Lip Service. And I listened to her when I was like 12 years old. She was on Shade 45. I should not have been listening to all of her content then. I was way too young. But I have just grown up always hearing Angela Yee's voice. So it was crazy to have her on the podcast. I'm excited to share that episode with you guys. And then I saw Naked Beauty on Nylon's list of 2019 podcasts. Yes, it was 7 podcasts you should be listening to in 2019. The story on Nylon was written by Tembi Denton Hurst. Thank you so much for including me in this roundup. 7 beauty podcasts you should be listening to. The story starts with a little blurb about how everyone with ears is on the hunt for a good podcast, and podcasts are free of all of that YouTube beauty drama, which I couldn't agree more. So she did a roundup of the best of 2019. I read the intro paragraph, then I scroll the very first podcast I see. I see the top of my orange towel wrapped around my head. You guys know my logo. And I see the words Naked Beauty. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even believe like I'm the first podcast on this list. It's absolutely insane. And then here's the best part, what she writes underneath Naked Beauty. When I asked my Instagram followers which beauty podcast they couldn't get enough of, almost everyone recommended Naked Beauty. For its soothing cadence and in-depth conversations, Naked Beauty's host, Brooke Devard, interviews some of the most influential players in the beauty game about their journeys in the industry. So this is not only exciting because I'm being recognized by a publication like Nylon, but it's also exciting because the editor heard from you all, my community. Like that's honestly what matters. Like press is great, but knowing that I have the real support of listeners just means everything to me. The other podcasts on this list are incredible and very well resourced. I'm on here with Breaking Beauty, Fat Mascara, Gloss Angeles, Unbothered Presents, Go Off Sis, which is a Refinery 29 podcast. Like these are podcasts by major media companies. I am just doing this solo on the side. So none of this would be possible without you all. Okay. Akili's great. You guys are going to love it. Oh, one other topic we get into, pattern beauty, which I know is a very controversial topic in the natural hair community right now. If you guys aren't familiar with pattern, it is Tracee Ellis Ross's natural hair care line. She's been developing it for 10 years. I think it launched at Ulta Beauty. People were so excited. A lot of people loved it and said it was amazing, but it was very mixed reviews. That comes up in the interview, and I won't spoil what Achilles' point of view was, but I'm currently recording this intro at home, and it's wash day, and it would be remiss of me to not mention that I have found a new deep conditioning treatment that I really love. And it's this brand that apparently many of you all know because I posted an image of it on at Naked Beauty Planet, the Instagram page, and everyone was like, oh, I love Soltanicals. I was not aware of Soltanicals. Sol, like S-O-U-L, Soltanicals. Never heard of it. Julie Wilson put me on to this brand. She brought it over when we did our interview. Julie, who, by the way, so many of you have reached out to me to tell me how much you loved her episode. If you guys haven't heard it, go back a few episodes. It's called Unapologetically Me. It's great. It's inspirational. And for the Julie Wilson fans, we have a Leftovers episode coming out really soon where she talks about motherhood and balancing that with her career. So I'm excited to share that with you all. But anyway, okay, this deep conditioner. It is a deep conditioner with vitamin repair damage. And it's basically like a super green smoothie for your hair. It has spirulina, wheatgrass, barley grass, oatgrass, cholera, and alfalfa. In addition to horsetail, rosemary, and sage, and biotin is added for extra hair strength. I would not say this is the loveliest smelling deep conditioner I've ever used. It certainly doesn't smell like roses, but it is effective. It works. It's $16 for 8 ounces. And the reason I'm kind of surprised that I never heard about this, one, all of these natural ingredients, like this is so up my alley, and it's a Black-owned hair company. And I kind of thought that I knew most of the Black hair care brands, right? Like your Jane Carter's, Camille Rose Naturals, Curls. I kind of thought I knew, but it just goes to show there are amazing brands popping up all the time. This is not an ad. I'm just super enthusiastic about this product, and I figured that I would share considering it is in my hair as we speak. I think deep conditioning is highly, highly underrated. I hate how much time it takes. You guys know I'm not the most patient, sit down and be still person out there. I deep condition because the results are just that good. Like your hair is that much softer, that much more manageable. I see a huge difference when I skip on my deep conditioner and is once a week really, it's not too much to ask to just sit with some product in your hair for an hour or two, right? That's not too much to ask. Sometimes I act like it is though. Okay, without further ado, let's get into the episode with Akili. Many of you have been asking me where I've been buying some of my favorite hair care products. I have an Amazon shop. I will link to that in the show notes. Check that out. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, rate, and review. I really appreciate everyone who takes the time to leave a review. It helps other people find the show. And without further ado, let's get into the interview with Akili.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. I am sitting here with Akili King. It's so nice to meet you in the flesh, in person. I feel like we've been DMing for forever.
Forever, yeah.
And it's a Friday and we've got a rosé here, so yes, cheers to the end of the week.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course.
I'm so excited. I'm a huge fan, so.
Okay, thank you so much for saying that. It's always, how did you find the podcast? I'm always so interested. Like, how do people even discover this show?
I don't even know. I think I was just falling down like a Instagram rabbit hole, and I noticed like, I think Marjan was following you.
Oh, yeah. Her she was great.
Yeah. She's, I mean, not surprised. She's amazing. And just a bunch of mutual friends I had were following you. And I'm always like, obviously want to support women of color in the industry.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I feel like there wasn't like a beauty podcast of its kind, of this kind.
Yes.
So I was excited to dive in.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
There are beauty podcasts, but they're so product focused
right.
and they're so like, we're talking to this founder about their new whatever, you know, it's like,
right.
it just feels like such a sales push. And I'm like, can we just talk about beauty?
Yeah.
Not connected to a right. commercial incentive.
Right. And like, what was your journey?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
What inspires me in
awesome.
General. So yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like knowing your background at mm-hmm. NYU and you did Gallatin, which means you get to design your own major, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you did like French and African American studies and
I minored in French.
Okay.
Yes. I focused on creative writing
okay.
and journalism, but I took a bunch of like Africana studies courses.
Amazing.
Cause I felt like, I mean, knowing your history as a writer, like, I mean, in general, obviously is important, but as a writer, I feel like to tell stories, you have to kind of know your history.
Yeah, and, of course.
You know, for me, that was like an essential part of moving forward as a writer.
So you've always been a writer.
Yeah.
But how did you know you wanted to go into beauty?
It's tough. I think I've been into beauty and wellness for a long, long time. Like, even in high school, I was super obsessed with like YouTube makeup tutorials
okay.
and like going to CVS and like the South Side of Chicago every weekend and like, you know, getting my little samples. So I think I always had this interest of like taking care of myself and like putting my best foot forward and kind of like, I don't know, I guess like knowing what was best for myself.
And sure.
Like, is that always trying to achieve that? I
yes.
don't know. Yeah.
Is that something that like you saw from your family or do you have sisters, mom?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do have a sister, an older sister. I wouldn't say they're as much of beauty junkies. Like my mom has perfect skin and doesn't try.
Always.
And
it's
like,
always the ones that don't try.
Like, just use Cetaphil. You'll be fine. I mean, I think my family in general always strives for the best. So
yeah.
I guess maybe that had influence over me, but I don't know. I just loved like watching YouTube tutorials
yeah.
and like just, I don't know, just being like, how can I do my makeup the best? How can
yes.
I take care of my skin the best? How can I, et cetera, et cetera.
See,
so that's kind of how I
you got
like.
Into it.
Yeah.
Early YouTube days. Do you remember Michelle Phan?
Yes.
Okay. There
Vaguely,
was just,
though. I know the name.
Okay. She was
yeah.
like the first one to be like really like well known for beauty.
Right.
And there was just this amazing story on, because she was the most prominent one. She started her own beauty brand and then she just went away completely. And now
right.
she doesn't really do videos, but she's made so much money and she's
yeah.
totally out of the limelight. But she was like the first
right.
one to do it.
I do remember her. And I would also watch like Andrea's Choice.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Like, I don't know. I wasn't even like super heavily into makeup, but I just,
there
I
is something,
loved
yeah.
watching it. I
yeah.
don't know.
it's like, I watch videos and I don't even follow the steps. Like, I just watch it for pure entertainment.
Right. It's kind of meditative.
Yeah. And like, there's like something nice about watching people like do a process from beginning to end.
Right. Exactly.
But it's also, some of those tutorials are so intimidating.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think there were times I was like, okay, I need to stop watching this because one, I don't have the money to like get all this.
Yes. No, I know.
But yeah.
So
yeah.
I love talking to women at the start of their career, but
right.
I also love
yeah.
talking to like the veterans that have
right.
like, been in the game for a long time. But I love also the start because I
yeah.
feel like you're not jaded yet. Like you went to the Met Gala this
yeah,
year. Like,
I did.
Were you like, oh my God, it's the Met Gala? Or were you like, oh, this is cool?
I think in general, right now, my life feels pretty surreal.
Right.
So I think even whenever people bring that up, I'm still like processing that I was there. I'm
right.
like, oh yeah, whoa.
Like, what's like the craziest thing you saw?
I was one of the greeters.
Okay, so you saw
everyone. Literally
everyone
come in. I mean, Cardi B's like,
oh, that red feathered insane.
I think, yeah, Tom Brown, I think,
yes.
dress. That was insane. I mean, Alicia Keys told
yeah.
me I was beautiful.
Oh my God.
So that was like,
that's a moment.
You're beautiful. Like,
that's a moment. You looked
yeah.
amazing, by the way.
Thank
Who
you.
Did you wear?
I wore Gucci.
Oh, casual.
Yeah,
just a casual Gucci gown.
I mean, even
gown.
Saying that, I'm just like, who am I? What's happening?
But then is there also like this
syndrome.
This moment at like midnight where it's all over and you have to like return the dress and it's like the clock strikes 12 and...
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they give us till Monday, which is nice. Okay. Like we don't have to like run back and like change and return it. Yeah. So we could, you know, wait.
Yes. Prolong the
fantasy.
Give
a weekend, yeah.
So you're not jaded. You still every day are like, I work at Vogue.
I mean,
quote Devil Wears Prada, a million girls would kill for this job.
I mean, like any job, I have my moments where I'm like, I'm stressed.
Of course.
I'm overwhelmed.
Of course.
But I think what keeps me going definitely is being a woman of color in that space,
right,
and being able to highlight women of color.
Right.
And, you know, the times and days where I'm like, whew, I'm tired and mm-hmm. I just want to give up like anything else.
Yeah.
That is what keeps me going because that's what got me started.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a woman of color and growing up, I think to answer your other question too, like growing up, I was in love with beauty and fashion and magazines, but also not seeing yourself in them.
Right.
Takes a toll. So now being in the position where I can sort of redirect that, obviously I'm, like you said, at the start, so I have a long way to go and I'm learning constantly every day. But I think that's what keeps me going and keeps me excited and motivated.
Yeah. So, and it's, yeah. And it's also great that you are willing to accept that burden because I think that it's just, it's kind of a reality of being a person of color in a space where there aren't many of us that you do have to, I mean, you can resist it, but eventually you have to come to terms with the fact that it's bigger than you and that you have an obligation to represent for the people that aren't in those spaces. So it's great that so early on you're like, yeah, this is why I'm here. This is what's going to push me through.
I mean, yeah, I think it gives me purpose.
Yes.
I think, yeah, there are some days where I'm like, oh my God, this is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I love. What would I want to see, you know?
Right.
So I think that kind of loosens those reins a little bit for me.
And I remember reading that on your edit test, you wrote about Aretha Franklin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So tell walk me through, like, you've graduated from college.
Yes.
I'm sure, I know you were writing for Milk, right?
Milk
you wrote for Milk Makeup.
Fashion Fair.
For Fashion
That's
Fair.
Marjan. Shout out Marjan.
Okay, nice. So you were writing, but how do you get to, I mean, some people have to work their whole careers to even be considered to like write for a place like Vogue. So how do you, how does it all happen? Like, how did you even get to do the edit test?
Yeah. So like you said, I was writing for Milk Makeup, Fashion Fair. I wrote a piece for Drome, which is,
It's
a growing magazine now, but at the time
Satchel,
it was smaller. Satchel,
I've been talking to her.
Nice.
Yeah, I want to have her on the show. Yeah. She seems so cool.
You should. Okay. Oh my God, she'd be perfect. She's one of my close friends.
Okay.
So I was constantly writing throughout college and after college, I was freelance writing. Freshman year of college, I spent in Paris.
Very chic.
For NYU study abroad program. And I guess at the time she was a junior or a senior, but she was in my class. We became really good friends and kind of like a mentor. Like she took me under her wing. Mm. We were in a similar program, Gallatin at NYU. So she, I believe, interned at Vogue throughout college. I'm not sure the exact timing of everything, but she interned there. We were both like, you know, interested in the same things. And then after I graduated, we had coffee and she was like, so, you know, what are you up to? What do you want to do? Because I was freelance writing. I was working part time at The Wing, at Y7.
Okay.
And I was like, I mean, I love beauty. I love writing. And she was like, I'll look out if anything opens up. So I think it was just a combination of me working my ass off, like throughout college and interning. I had interned at The Fader 2 summers and a bunch of other internships. But I guess a combination of that and I guess networking.
Sure.
And like,
but the edit test specifically, like what, oh, like, do they just say like, write about like what, how broad is the brief and how long do you have? Like, were they just take me through like the moment you got the assignment to when you sent it in?
Yeah. So I had to go through 2 interviews first.
Okay.
So I got through both of those and then they were like, okay, we want you to take this edit test. And I was like, great. So they sent it to me and it was pretty long. Like I had to pitch like a few stories and then you had to write a full article.
Okay. About anything related to beauty?
Well, yes, but it was more like pitch three articles and then write a full one on a culturally relevant situation. So at the time, Aretha had like just passed away.
Okay.
And I love her. Like we're both Aries.
Yes, Aries women.
Yes.
Love it.
So I just felt a strong connection to her. And I was like, you know what? Her beauty looks are iconic. And I don't,
True.
I feel like people talk about her voice, of course.
Right.
It's amazing. And that's what she's known for. But just from a beauty perspective, she broke boundaries
yeah.
that I think people didn't really talk about
that
first
was
and foremost.
Totally.
So, yeah.
That was so smart of you to go with an unexpected, right? Because
yeah.
you can imagine they see tests all the time.
Right.
And people may talk about the same types of things.
Right.
I bet they had never seen a full-length piece
yeah.
devoted to Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, probably not. And I think it just felt like divine timing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I was obviously sad and it was
a
hard,
loss. Yeah.
a loss. But I think it was just like, you know what? This is my way of paying homage to her.
That's beautiful.
And it just felt cathartic, even just like it didn't feel like a test. I was
right.
just like, I love her. So
yeah.
I was just like, okay.
So you also didn't have like
fun.
Stress attached to it
right.
as well.
And I think that's kind of what maybe even helped me
yeah.
you know, get through it. I went to Sincerely Tommy in Bed-Stuy to write.
Nice.
And I was just like in my groove. I had some music going. I was just like, I have nothing to lose
yes.
really, which is funny for me because I'm very anxious. So I think like in other situations, maybe I would have
been more nervous, yeah.
yeah.
And I know you said you grew up watching YouTube videos. I grew up being obsessed with Sarah Brown, who's
oh,
way before
yeah.
your time.
Yes.
She was the Vogue beauty editor, and she
yeah.
was iconic
yeah.
and so smart.
Yeah.
And I remember I would read her work, and that's when it first clicked for me that beauty could be talked about so intelligently
mm-hmm.
and that it's
mm-hmm.
so much bigger than
yeah,
just products
makeup,
that is connected
yeah.
to culture. And she
Absolutely.
Was just like iconic.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So first day, like, what do you wear? Like, I feel like that's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, what was I wearing? I wore this like polka dot dress. It was blue and white.
Okay.
I wore not this. I had a different leather jacket at the time.
Do you go through, do I wear my hair straight,
yeah.
curly?
You know what? I wore it curly and out.
Okay.
I was just like,
just coming in.
I'm just going to come
in
hot.
With the
yeah,
big curly
me.
Hair. This is me.
What you
yes.
guys are going to get.
Yes. Just let them know from the beginning.
Yeah.
Let them know from the first interview.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah, that's what I wore. I don't know.
And you're one of the few women of color on this team.
Yeah.
Or you're probably the only one.
I'm the only one.
You're the only
yeah.
one. Which is, again, as you mentioned, a huge responsibility. But again, I think it's so great that you are able to carve that space. But then do you feel, because obviously we're in a time now, Kirby just wrote that amazing piece
yes.
on Medium.
Oh my gosh, incredible.
Business of Fashion was called out pretty severely.
Yeah.
But what he's talking about isn't new, right?
No.
People of color have been tokenized since the beginning of time. Do you feel pigeonholed into talking about specifically issues that pertain to women of color and beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you feel like you have the range to kind of talk about what you're passionate about?
I feel like there's two answers. I feel like, yes, I definitely have the range.
Yeah.
I mean, I pitch weekly and daily, and most of my pitches are well received.
Okay.
Which is really nice. But I think at the same time, I feel like what I am interested in is talking about women of color.
Okay.
And I mean, not only that, but like, I think just because I am one, it just kind of comes
mm-hmm.
naturally. I'm like, you know, I have natural hair. I
yes.
have, you know, all these different skin needs that
yeah.
aren't necessarily talked about. So I think it's kind of both. Like,
yes.
I am interested in that, but I also have free range to explore beyond that,
beyond
which
that.
Is nice.
That's
I'm
nice.
Not pigeonholed.
So like one specific.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you said you grew up on the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
Okay, I feel like I like mythically know what the South Side of Chicago means, like from
yeah.
like the Obamas, but like I don't
South Side with you.
Yeah, yeah, like I like don't really know what
right.
it is.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
what was it like growing up there, and what did you learn about mm. beauty growing up?
I mean, I feel like I had a unique experience because I grew up in Hyde Park.
Okay.
Which is one of the more, I guess, diverse neighborhoods in
okay.
Chicago, because Chicago is technically very segregated.
Okay.
Still.
Yeah.
But Hyde Park is kind of this special, weird
enclave of
enclave.
Mixed cultures. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Kind of a bubble.
Yeah.
So that was special
nice,
that I had that growing
yeah.
up. And maybe in some ways, you know, I wasn't prepared for some realities later in life.
Mm.
But yeah, I think I don't know.
What, how did you think about beauty growing up? Did you feel like, I mean, you model now.
Yeah.
Did you feel beautiful always?
Okay. No.
No. Okay.
Definitely not. I'd say, I mean, I definitely went through a phase from like late middle school through high school where I was constantly straightening my hair, had heat damage. Like I had a debilitating view of my hair. Like I didn't want to leave the house unless my hair was straightened, or didn't want to do like swimming in gym class, like all those kinds of things that, you know, a lot of us deal with. So definitely, I think I felt beautiful to a certain end, like if I looked a certain way, but I was by no means like embracing my natural hair.
Got it. Did you get like the usual BS of like, you're pretty for a black girl?
Yeah, definitely.
And did you receive that compliment, or did you take it as an opportunity to like correct the person?
I think I like processed it like late. Like I would always just not know what to say.
Right.
I was uncomfortable.
Of course.
I didn't know why, because I'm like, oh, you know, they're complimenting me.
Right.
But then you go home and you're like, what?
Wait, that was kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously now, like, I have the maturity to
be clap
like,
back.
Sorry, sis, what? But I think at that age, you're still kind of fleshing through.
Processing.
What even.
Yes.
Like, they don't even realize fully what they're saying, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely had a handful of that. And yeah, I mean, I think that that's also part of why I felt like I fell into beauty and developed this passion for it, because growing up reading these magazines and being in these schools that aren't super diverse or like predominantly white, you kind of develop this warped sense of what is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when I got into college, I was taking all these interesting classes.
Yeah.
I was in New York.
You're in New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I mean, I think the process started a little before that, but I think it pushed me even more forward of like, if I'm going to be in the media space, I want to be, you know, re-portraying what beauty really is. And it's a plethora of things. It's not just one
specific cookie cutter
type.
Well, one of the things that you do, which is, it's a big responsibility, but you do the beauty Instagrams of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Roundup on Vogue.com. What makes a good, because I look at those selfies and I'm like, these are sickening.
Yeah.
These are amazing. And I'm like, sometimes I try to decode, like, what is it? Like, I feel like it's like, I can tell you what I think. I think it's like natural light.
Yes.
I think natural light is a big thing.
100%.
Proximity to the camera. Like, I think people need to realize, like, you got to, a good selfie means like, you got to be up close.
Up close, yeah.
And then I think it's like something slightly unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be too perfect. Like you can have a done eye, but then maybe the lip is undone. Or, but like, I feel like there's like that little unexpected twist. What do you think when you're curating the best beauty Instagrams of the week? What are you looking for?
Yeah. Well, honestly, well, starting in the summer, I was allowed to choose them before that. Like another editor was choosing them and I was just writing the text. But now I have that lovely responsibility.
Yeah.
But I guess, exactly what you said. I guess like good lighting up close. But yeah, I also like the untraditional, not what you would expect from the best beauty Instagrams of the week. Like, I want to push that envelope kind of through that. We have girls reading and girls exercising, doing yoga, or, you know, Tracee Ellis Ross doing her thing, or just like someone sharing advice or sharing their story or a video or for me. Yeah. It doesn't just have to be a selfie. Like we obviously can't use like professional photos,
of course,
for rights reasons, but I think it's just kind of showing the spectrum and even showing like different genders and men.
Love
like last
that.
Week I did a man with his baby, like taking
beautiful.
A selfie.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just want to push the envelope. Like what is beauty? And like, does it have to be this one thing?
This
no,
one
it doesn't.
Thing. Yeah.
Who we can have fun with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite accounts to follow for beauty inspo?
Ooh. There's this one account. I don't really even know who runs it. It's kind of like this mysterious.
Ooh, I love
Instagram,
a mysterious account.
But it's, V9300 or OO.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's like just all these, it's kind of a compilation of like other Instagrams that
it's like
have cool
curated,
beauty, but like they, it's all like in one place and they tag everyone, which is nice. So you can
discover,
refer back.
Love that.
But they always have like cool, funky, like, eye looks and skincare. I mean, Tracee Ellis Ross, obviously.
Yeah, she's the best.
Just because she, I feel like she pushes the envelope constantly.
She really does. One of the things that I'm always reminded of, especially when I go on social and I see all these great looks, is remember that makeup is supposed to be fun and like not to take beauty so seriously and to like take the risk and do the thing that's unexpected. I think that you can get so caught up in trying to look perfect that like you just never do anything interesting.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like I'm trying to get out of this idea of like, I didn't get any good photos tonight. Like, I can't post anything. Like, we all do that. We're like, oh, I'm so sad I didn't get the right
photo.
We've
all been there.
But it's like, I don't know.
What is the right photo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to post this anyway for myself. Just to get out of that. And like, I had fun. How about that? Like, that's a beauty moment.
Yeah, that's a beauty moment. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated by you also because you are a DJ, which means lots of nightlife and club life and all that fun stuff. But then also you're like so into yoga and like doing yoga all the time.
I'm like low-key, I'm crazy.
So I'm like, what?
I got a lot going on.
This is like a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So how do you balance the two? Like, nightlife feels so polar opposite from wellness sometimes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. I think I also take on more gigs that are like event based. So like ones that are earlier in the evening.
Well, of course, or, that's also the better check. So very smart and strategic of you.
So like 7 to 9 is like my jam.
Okay.
Like during the week or like a weekend gig, like that's during the day. Like I did a rooftop gig for the Williamsburg Hotel rooftop for the swimwear brand.
Nice.
So like, I don't know. I like stuff like that and almost like blending what I'm doing with beauty or like
into
wellness
the DJing stuff
and taking gigs that are like around those topics that are usually earlier in the day. And
oh my God, I have to get you like to DJ like the next Naked Beauty
event.
That would be such a vibe.
That would be amazing. Yeah. So stuff like that, I think, helps me balance and also like learning to say no to things and not taking on everything.
Yes. Oh my
gosh. I only
do
a couple a month.
That's smart.
So
New York can be so overwhelming. Yeah. And I'm sure you're probably invited to every single event, and every single opening and every single dinner and every single thing. Do you get FOMO or are you just sort of like, I'm good at home?
I go through phases for sure. I think like during Fashion Week, that was only my second Fashion Week. So I think I had a bit of FOMO sometimes, even though I'm already doing so much. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, how is everyone doing so much? I think it was more of that. Like, how is everyone doing it? Not even like, do I want to be here? I was just more like,
how?
Cause I'm like sick and tired. Like,
I know.
After like two things.
I know.
But I feel like I go through phases, but I feel like mostly I go within and I'm just like, okay, what do I need?
Right. And check in with yourself. Yeah. So when you know you're going to be photographed or like just very highly visible, whether you're DJing or going to Fashion Week, what's like your go-to beauty look? Like, are you like right now you're rocking a beautiful, strong, it's like a burgundy lip. I don't even want to say it's like a red lip.
Yeah.
Do you have like a go-to beauty look that you're like, this is going to kill?
Yes and no. I think if like my hair isn't cooperating, because I prefer to wear it out and curly.
Yeah, but does it ever cooperate?
Yeah, especially as the seasons are changing.
I mean,
and I don't have time.
My situation
it looks
today.
So cute,
I mean,
though.
Thank you, but like, I feel like
but you're making it work.
Thank you. I feel like I have let go of the expectation that it's ever going to do exactly what I want it to do, and that has really freed me up to just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you're saying if your hair's cooperating.
Sure. Yeah, if it's cooperating, obviously, out curly.
Yeah.
If not, this is like my go-to.
The
middle
back,
part,
low bun.
Low
bun.
Sometimes,
how do you get it slicked down? I just learned how to do this. And for me, it involves lots of gel. What's your process?
I have a few different products I like. I like the I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Rawa, R-A-H-U-A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have like it's called like a wax, I think.
Oh,
I use that. I mean, honestly, water and a cream, like the Diva Curl Coconut Styler works well for me.
Yes, love that. Elijah in the back who helps with the show is giving the thumbs
up. Like,
she's like, that's the cream. That's
the one. That slicks my hair with some water, but also I love that just for wearing it out.
Yeah. Do you tie it down with a scarf when you want it to like lay down?
Honestly, no, because my hair is pretty fine.
Okay.
Like it's big and curly, but like when you actually look at each strand, it's really thin.
Yeah. No, I have fine hair too. People are like, what? I'm like, like it's big and like puffy, but like it's fine.
Fine. Yeah. Like each strand is delicate and fine. So I'd say like some water and that Diva Curl cream or the Rawa wax and I'm good to go.
And then makeup wise, like what's your...
I'm more of a skincare
more
and
of
hair
a skincare
person
girl. Okay.
When it comes to beauty, but and wellness, but I guess like I've honestly not been wearing a lot of makeup recently.
That's great. Let
but,
your skin breathe.
Yeah, but I've been wearing the Sappho foundation because they're like super organic.
Oh, I've been looking for a clean foundation.
Yeah,
Sappho.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Sappho.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
And I'll wear that. I'm obsessed with the Boy de Chanel brow pencil.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's People actually made for men, but I have really big, thick brows, and
oh my gosh.
I love it.
The whole, I always talk about this on the podcast, but like gendered skincare bothers me so much. Like why, like men's eyebrows are different.
I know.
Like,
It's like, it's it says it's for men, but I use it and
it's just
anyone
like,
can use it.
I know. I feel like it's like men have to like feel more comfortable using like a grooming product. So like they have to be like, guys, like look at the black packaging.
Right.
It's for you.
I mean, I'm hoping we'll shift out of, I hope that's like the entryway to like shifting out of that.
Totally.
Like, weird, you know,
gendered
separation.
Yeah, totally.
Because like it's all skincare.
I know.
We can all wear makeup.
So what's your skincare routine?
Yeah.
Do you do anything special? Yeah. Like do you do the facials and treatments or crazy things, or are you just more like solid AM and PM routine?
Recently, I've gotten really into facials just because I have more access to them now.
And that's listeners. That's code that she gets them offered to her for free in her inbox every day. Okay. You've got more access. So like the fanciest spas in the world are like, hey.
Yeah. Do you want to try it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
I guess I try more, but
what's like the best one you've done here in New York?
Ooh, so hard. I mean, honestly, I loved the Caudalie.
Oh, yeah.
That was
I bet that's really nice.
Up there. Yeah.
I bet that's
I love them in general. And then, I mean, Heyday was actually like great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heyday's right by my office. I have to try.
Yeah. It was honestly awesome.
What I love about Heyday is that one of the things that they're doing is trying to make the idea of getting a facial less about like, oh, it's a spa and a robe of cucumbers on our face. And it's like, do you have 30 minutes or 60 minutes?
Yeah.
And then within that time, we're going to do what we can do. It's like kind of like, it gives me, it's like the Equinox of, you know, spas, right? Like it gives me like a very functional, straightforward vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like, you're all busy, but like you can still make time for this.
Totally.
So, which I like. So honestly, I liked those two a lot. I had this Chill House just opened a menu for facials, and I had a great esthetician there. But also Samantha Memes. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name right. She's bedside based.
Okay.
And I went to her once, and like, I think that like set my skin up for success for everything else.
Just one facial?
Yeah, because whatever she did, like
it just worked.
Yeah. So I recommend her for people in Brooklyn.
Okay. Let me ask you first, your overall top three favorite beauty products or treatments.
God. Top three. I can't choose three, but I feel like I have three like in each category.
Okay.
Like,
let's
skincare.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do top three skincare.
Yeah. Top three skincare. Okay. Right now I'd say Clur face mask.
K-L-U-R?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've been talking to her.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's based in LA, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get an appointment with her.
Lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So they have a face mask?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe it's new and not out yet.
Okay.
So exclusive. Maybe let's...
I'll DM her and ask her if it's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. Love that. For exfoliating, I love Caudalie Deep Scrub. That's like my jam.
Is that a physical exfoliator?
Yeah. That's like the actual beads.
Beads. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have been moving away from physical exfoliation into chemical exfoliation.
Yeah, the liquids, BHAs.
But you're like a physical exfoliator.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about like
feeling it happen.
It, So I don't know. I'm into that. But that's like maybe like once a week, like very spread out because it's
you can't
intense.
Over-exfoliate. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, and then honestly, the whole Ipara line. Like,
wait, I don't even know this brand.
Ipara. Yeah, I wrote a piece on her and her brand.
Okay.
But it's black woman owned.
Oh, amazing.
She's based in London.
Okay.
But she sells in Barney's and on her website, EPARA.
Oh,
Ipara
amazing.
Skincare. And she targets like hyperpigmentation, but like without the skin lightening. Cause a lot of products that say, you know.
Right. They have hydroquinone.
Yeah. And then it lightens your skin in a negative way, but right. this like targets just the area that you need.
Interesting.
And it has just like some amazing ingredients.
Okay.
So that line, I know that's not one product.
No, but, no, no, but the whole the line whole you line, like. That's yeah. great. That's great.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
what about, what are your hair care faves?
Ooh, that is tough.
I know. Cause it's like yeah. tools, treatments, right. yeah, yeah, yeah. shampoo. I mean, like there could be 20,000, but.
Exactly. I'd say. The Orbe Highly Textured line.
Okay.
I'm naming lines right now. I'm not even
yeah,
naming products.
You know what? So
it's hard.
I got that. It was like a PR yeah. gift, which I never get. So yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. It smelled so good.
Yeah.
But when, for me, yeah. when I see the price tag of those things, and yeah. then I have to like, if someone says, oh, would you recommend this? I'm like,
right.
I, after this is done, like, I will go buy my Eco Styler gel. Like,
no,
I'm
oh,
not going to
sure.
spend this much money on
it. Oh, for
it's
sure.
It's beautiful and it smells nice.
Yeah.
But for me, the efficacy of the product
yeah.
wasn't like that much better.
No, for sure.
Than what I could get at like the beauty store.
No, for sure.
But it, I mean, it was, it's a great,
yeah.
great
no,
product.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think even like, you know, sometimes working at Vogue, I'm like, obviously, or as beauty editors and
yeah.
people in beauty, we get all this stuff.
Everything.
And get to try everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is sort of like, there is this price disconnect. And in some certain aspects, I understand mm-hmm. because, you know, there's certain ingredients that are hard mm-hmm. to get and, you know, they're sourcing it from all these places and it takes
sure.
a lot of work and that
yeah.
reflects. But then it's also like,
you're paying for branding, you're paying for
yeah.
packaging, you're paying for
yeah.
prestige.
Right.
You
but
know.
Then it's like, you know, like you said, you can get your Eco Styler and,
yes.
and be fine.
Be totally fine. Okay. But
yeah.
that line is beautiful.
I like that line. And then, I mean, I've been using the pattern shampoo and conditioner.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting
yeah.
hot topic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people
don't like
have
it.
Been saying, it's a no for me.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's a hard no. I'm looking at Elijah now, shaking her head.
Oh, it's a hard no.
So,
yeah.
well, okay.
Well, for me, I've just been using the shampoo and conditioner.
And you're happy with
and
it.
And I like
you
it.
You like it. Does your hair feel moisturized when you get out of the shower?
Yeah. Well, I've been using the deep conditioner, or it's called the heavy conditioner
okay.
or something. So I'll shampoo with that. But I only shampoo, like, once a week.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's like
it's
washing
good for
it
you.
Out. Yeah.
What would you
and
say
then,
your
yeah.
hair, your curl type is
it? Ooh, I'd say 3B or
okay.
3C.
Okay, so that's consistent. Like
yeah.
people have been saying, like the type 3 girls, like pattern, great. But like a lot of the type 4s have
no.
been saying it's a no for me. I haven't tried it, so I'm just relaying the
that
information.
Makes me sad.
But you like it.
Yeah. I've been really only using the shampoo and conditioner,
okay.
so I can't speak on
the whole system.
Well, I did do a trial for Allure.
Okay.
But consistently I've been using the shampoo and conditioner.
Okay.
And I will say I had to use like a lot of conditioner for
okay.
to get the results I wanted.
Mm.
But I loved the shampoo and
yeah.
conditioner. Because I love how big the conditioner is
right
too.
Like oh my gosh
yeah.
the story of my life is full like so much shampoo
yeah.
never enough conditioner
exactly so I like that and I don't know
yeah
but yeah
what tools do you use because
yeah.
I'm now realizing I mean I'm just thinking I've wash day coming up on Sunday and I'm like already dreading it but
yeah
I've been going between like I've had a tangle teaser mm-hmm. I stopped using a Demna brush because I learned early on that those are like very bad
yeah.
for my hair texture, but
mm-hmm.
tangle teasers are pretty good.
Yeah.
I do a lot of hand detangling.
Yeah, same.
Are you more of a hands girl?
I definitely do hands.
Okay. I feel like that's probably
yeah,
the safest route.
The safest.
Yeah.
But I'd say like a wide tooth comb.
Wide tooth comb.
For me, yeah. But like only when your hair is like
wet.
And moisturized,
yeah.
like with the conditioner in it and like go
yes,
from
the bottom
yeah.
to the top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't just like yank it out because it's breakage. But
yeah.
But yeah, I feel like finger detangling and I like to deep condition before I shampoo.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of my
like
pro
a
pre-poo yeah,
treatment.
Pre-poo. Yeah, because
okay.
I mean shampoo's stripping and yeah, I feel like it locks in the moisture.
Absolutely.
Makes it easier to
yeah.
I do too. Yeah.
I do an oil pre-poo. That's
yeah.
my thing. Like,
yeah, or that. Yeah.
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 Which mascara do
yeah.
you use? You have great lashes.
Oh, thank you. I'm using Milk Makeup's
the Kush?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. See, that's
yeah.
another one that like
yeah.
I wanted to love it.
Yeah.
I wanted to love
and
it.
And it didn't work for you.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm like not impressed by mascaras for the most part. Like
yeah.
I feel like they're I mean, like, I haven't ever been like, this is life. Like, this is
yeah.
a game. Like, this is the most incredible mascara I've
yeah.
ever tried. everyone go out and buy it.
Right.
I'll feel like that for like maybe the first week of like a new one. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of just like all the other ones.
I feel you. I mean, day to day when I go to work, I don't put, I just do my eyebrows.
Okay.
And maybe a lipstick if I'm feeling fancy.
Yeah, got it.
But yeah, I feel you. I kind of just, maybe because we're also in the beauty industry, we're constantly trying things and we're kind of like,
yeah,
I'm over this.
I know. I mean, like, I'm not even in the beauty industry. I'm just like,
you are.
I mean,
you are.
You know what's so great though about my position? Because I'm not actually like I'm such an outsider, but I have such a strong opinion that I'm like basically able to say what I think without any real repercussions. So it's like kind of the best way
you
to
have
be
the best,
in it.
You have like the most, one of the most important
thank you for saying that.
Of the industry, thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Well, so okay, my next question. So this is also for listeners. This is a change up. I used to ask people the three beauty trends that they're over and want to go away. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to personalize it because I think it's actually more interesting to talk about our mistakes. Mm. So what are the three biggest beauty mistakes you've made and how have you learned from them? Because we've all made mistakes. We've all made mistakes.
I feel like the biggest one for sure is, I mean, having this idea that I had to straighten my hair to leave the house. Oh. Like,
and now you're just in the, like, I look at your pictures and like the curls are just, cheers to that.
Thank
cheers
you.
To, like,
cheers to that. Cheers growing, to curl love.
I know, right? And just growing out of this idea that straight hair is pretty, I mean, it's just like, what?
Yeah, no.
No, so it's just not.
If you're listening.
Yes.
No.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, love your hair regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially if you have curls, you know.
Okay, so but too much straightening, you damage, you learned the hard way.
Months and months, years of trimming. I mean, you should get trims.
Regularly, anyway.
Regularly, yeah. But I had to undo so much damage.
Yeah, of course.
What else? Oh my God, I cut bangs.
I feel like everyone has a story of cutting their own bangs.
Yeah, because like when you straighten your hair all the time, it looks, it still didn't look good, but like it looks okay. Like,
what did you cut them with? Just like house scissors?
Just house scissors. Like, I think maybe, house scissors. Mm-hmm. That was a no. so many no's. That, I think, not embracing my eyebrows.
Mm, I'm still, you have beautiful brows.
Thank you. I'm still trying to get them back. Like, I feel like this isn't even as full as they could be.
Oh, wow. Because you overplucked.
I overplucked. I mean, I used like a razor in high school, like just all these things that I'm just like,
no,
are you okay?
Yeah.
So
I know we've seen, this is why it's important to share these stories. So people listening, like learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And I think,
we've all made them.
Exactly. And I think like all of those mistakes kind of chalk up to just like one big mistake of not feeling like I could own my big, beautiful, bushy brows and hair and kind of like dimming my own light, you know? And that was the number one mistake, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are your beauty idols now?
Now.
I saw you wrote a great piece about SZA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's
Thank
an old
spot.
That's like
that's
a throwback.
An old one. That's
like
throwback a throwback piece. Yeah.
See, I'm keeping the archives. Yeah.
SZA, hardcore.
She's such a beauty icon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? I feel like I should have thought about this before.
No.
Because I'm like blanking.
For me, this is what I always try to like. Rihanna for me, I don't know if she's more iconic for her beauty, for her music, for her entrepreneurship and business savvy, or for her fashion. I'm like, between all four.
It's all of them.
It's like all of them. Like she's but I think for me she's like definitely top three beauty icons of all time.
Yep. Oh, I agree. She's up there for me.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, I think like Lisa Bonet.
Ooh, good
is like
one.
A big
Lisa
one for
more
me.
Than Zoe?
I mean, I feel like
Lisa's the blueprint.
The OG, the blueprint.
The OG, yeah.
Yeah, but like for sure Zoe too.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think like growing up, just watching Lisa Bonet.
I mean, you're 23. Yeah. What did you see her in?
I mean,
like A Different World reruns. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
All the reruns.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say her.
Yeah.
Because even now, like just her hair, like the dreads.
Oh my God.
Super long. Like I used to want dreads.
Oh my God. You can still have it.
Yeah.
Also faux locks.
Yeah, faux
like,
locks.
You can get,
exactly.
You can have locks down your back tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So true. So yeah, I feel like she's a big one for me.
Yeah. Also like her with her husband now, like when I see them together, I'm like, what? are you too?
Yeah. But also, not
like,
real.
Lenny Kravitz is, like, can we talk about the fact that Lenny Kravitz is a beauty icon?
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz is a beauty icon.
I would love to put him in Best Beauty Insta.
I know.
Thank you for the inspo.
I know.
I'll
well, but also, like, they're few and far between. Lenny, step up your Instagram game so Akili can feature you on Vogue.com.
Yes. We know you're listening.
Lenny, we know you're listening. But he also looks so good.
Yeah.
And he's so.
His curls popping, like, everything.
Sex appeal.
Yeah.
Just, he's incredible.
Yeah, I agree. No, for sure.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
You mentioned earlier imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Is that something
Big
you deal
fame.
With?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anxiety.
How does it manifest for itself for you?
I think kind of like what we were saying before, like when other people bring up stuff that I've done, mm-hmm. I'm almost like, what? Oh, yeah, I did that.
Like, I see.
Like there's this moment of like, I'm just as surprised as you almost. Like,
that's interesting for me to hear you say, because it sounds like what you interned at Fader. It sounds like you kind of killed yourself trying to get all these internships.
Yeah.
You really hustled, you networked, you made relationships, you were setting coffee dates. Like, you got the opportunity and you fell into the position, but it wasn't just like, oh my gosh, here I am.
Exactly.
It's like you worked really hard
to get there. And I think that's what I have to remind myself of. Those are the moments that I have imposter syndrome that I'm like, how and why me? Like, I have those moments, but then I have to come back to, whoa, you know what? Actually, I've been putting in the work.
Right.
But I think it's because, like, in this industry, in any industry, I'm sure, like, you're going to hear so many no's and so many, you're not the right fit, or like,
right,
we'll get back to you, or like, nothing, or you won't hear anything.
Yes. That's kind of the worst when you don't hear anything, right?
And because
you're like, did you even read what I spent so much time on?
I know, and it's just like, you could just say,
thanks, but
thank you,
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think going through all that everyone experiences at some point, and then you get that one yes, or those couple of yeses, and then I think you got so used to the no's that you're kind of like, what is a yes? And like, you know, like this feeling, like, let me settle into this because I deserve it, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I think, I feel like I'm getting better at letting go of my imposter syndrome for sure, but yeah.
It's something you deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm happy to hear you say that you deserve it, because as lucky, I'm putting lucky in quotes, as you are to work at Vogue, they are so lucky to have you.
Thank you.
You know, and I think it's just important that you realize that like, they are in a privileged position to have you there and your brain there and your point of view there.
Yeah.
And so you can walk in there every day and know that it's a privilege for Anna Wintour to, you know, hire you.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I have to know.
Yeah.
You also model, which I feel like can take such a hit on self-esteem.
Oh,
I used to model with Ford when I was like in high school, and like just going to like castings, and it's like a cattle call.
Yeah.
You know, and casting directors are like next. And I remember when I was like 16, I was like in a bikini with like, I mean, it's like gross even. So, and I'm sure it's still bad today.
Yeah.
How do you maintain like confidence and high self-esteem while also modeling?
Whew. I think, you know, for a long time, there was a period of like me putting in work and like self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have that foundation of like, it's like a muscle almost.
Mm.
You exercise your body, but you also exercise like your confidence, I feel like. And I feel like I've gotten to a place, obviously, like, not a perfect place, because I still deal with like anxiety and imposter syndrome. And obviously there's going to be ceilings to break through at every level we get to. But I think
just doing the self work.
Yeah. Just doing the self work. And also I don't model like a bunch.
Right. But I mean, you've got a full-time job, but you do it.
Yeah. But I think it's the same thing with the beauty work I'm doing at Vogue and freelance wise. I think those moments where I'm like unsure of myself, or, you know, I want to give up, or I'm like, I'm tired of this, or whatever it might be. I think it's also like, I come back to this idea of like, I'm important to be here, because there's going to be a million girls following after me that look like me, or maybe not, or just feel like me.
Yes.
And just by me being here and doing it is
You're doing
all
it
the confidence
them.
I need. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's kind of the through line of like what gets me through, like when I start doubting myself, because I'm like, the women that I look up to had these moments of doubt. And if they hadn't have carried on, I wouldn't have thought I could be here either. So it's kind of like passing that torch almost. Yeah. That's kind of what is like my mantra.
Yeah. It's just beautiful to me that you realize that you're part of something much bigger already.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I think that's kind of my only way through to kind of like zoom out, because it can get very intense and busy. But I think when I step back and I'm like, okay, what's the bigger picture here? That's the icing on the cake for me, I think.
Okay, final question.
Yeah.
When do you feel most beautiful?
Ooh, I feel most beautiful. Ooh, hard. I feel like when I'm at home with my robe on, in a face mask, watching, chilling. That's when I feel like most at peace, which I think when you're at peace is when you look and feel most beautiful. It shines through. So I think like those moments where I'm just like, had that me time, and I can like feel like that little girl that's just like waking up on a Saturday excited, like to chill and or like do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I think those are the moments for
when you
sure.
own your time and you're just like yourself, and you're not rushed, and you can just like be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that. Like, I'm just thinking about my tomorrow, and I'm like, yes. Like, that's like, I'm so excited for that. And I hope, I hope people listening also are experiencing that right now as they listen. Just like, when you can chill and just be truly calm in your own space, that is
ease
a feeling.
Ease into your day. So,
so
I think that's when I feel my best. Overall,
I love
and
that.
Most beautiful.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Let's
do a little toast. This was so great.
Thank you.
For everyone listening, I will link to all of Akili's socials and all of her amazing stories that you can follow. And your website's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
And I can tell you that's very well done.
But
this has been so great. And thank you just so much. Thank you for the work that you do on behalf of the community. You are out here representing for us. And like, I've just met you, but I'm already proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Of
likewise.
Of course.
You're killing it. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.